and I'm a program manager with the Azure App Service team. Today, I'm joined by Donovan Brown.
Hi, I'm Donovan Brown. I'm a senior program manager for DevOps here at Microsoft.
In this session, we will talk about how Azure App Service is optimized for DevOps and how your DevOps workflows can benefit from using build and release management products. Under roadmap, we will focus on the platform services space with examples from the web apps layer. Managing infrastructure and the complexity and risk associated with that can take focus away from managing your business goals. To solve that problem, the Azure App Service platform manages infrastructure for you, and that's already great. In addition, we interface with an ecosystem of products that allow you to manage high complexity solutions. By automating repeatable tasks, we also allow you to reduce the risk element. Here, we have a simplified view of the DevOps workflow that is representative as a starting point for many of our customers. A great example is Jet.com. You may be familiar with Jet.com from the beginning of this conference. Jet.com has multiple development teams checking in code across multiple development stacks and deploying across multiple geo-regions multiple times a day. To accomplish that without any negative impact to their customers, they use one of our DevOps features called deployment slots. Specifically, what they do is they create a staged deployment slot as a final integration point before deploying to production. It is here that they integrate their changes and they perform manual and automated validation. When they're ready, they simply swap to production, which is a seamless operation for their end customers. Deployment slots is a core concept that we will be revisiting throughout today's presentation. Talking about the DevOps workflow would not be complete in this context without noting that many of the apps that are deployed on our platform require coordination with other cloud resources, like a database. In the first demo of the day, I will show how you would use the deployment slots as a manual building block for this workflow. In the second demo of the day, Donovan will show how you automate all of these steps through the build and release management tools. Let's have a look at the deployment slots concept. Instead of targeting your code and configuration changes directly to production, you would target those changes to a different deployment slot. You can have many. In this case, we're just showing stage as an example. Once those changes are ready, because the deployment slot is addressable and fully configurable, you can perform validation there. When you are ready, we can swap to production. And because this is the equivalent of a VIP swap and we simply direct traffic after warming up your staging slot, the end effect for customers is they experience no downtime and no code start. This is such a simple concept, but it's also really powerful because it benefits your customers. Before we move on, I have to tell you, I'm really happy Donovan is presenting here today because he told me that he is running a production web app on Azure App Service. And I have to ask, Donovan, what's your experience with deployment slots?
Deployment slots have drastically changed the way that I deploy my application. Historically, what you would have to do with an ASP.NET application is put up the offline page, right? It's a page that catches all your traffic and says, hey, we'll be back in a moment, but at this moment, we're updating our site. And this would allow me to update all the files on my web server without people actually trying to access them at the same time. The downside of that is that everyone's seeing this page saying you can no longer use the functionality of my application. There's another downside of that, is that I also can't see the pages that I've just uploaded, right? So I can't go and test it. I can't go and make sure that everything works the way that I want to. What I have to do is, fingers crossed, take that page down, let the site come up, and hopefully everything works. And if not, I have to quickly put the page back up and try to think, what in the world just happened? But then if you introduce deployment slots, I can now deploy my application to a staging slot while my customers are still using the production website. Because, as you just pointed out, it's completely addressable. I can go and test my site and make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be. And at the moment that I'm confident, I simply do a VIP swap. I just swap the slots, and my customers are none the wiser that I've actually deployed a brand new version of my application to production. I've done this multiple times a day, and none of my customers are the wiser. They just all of a sudden see new features, and I know that those features are going to work because I was able to test them in the staging slot. So I'm a huge, huge fan of slots, and I've actually already put them into a DevOps pipeline.
Thank you, Donovan.
Of course.
It's always good to have this kind of story from the customer. For today's demo, we will start in the Azure portal. And I will mention a couple of new features that will be interesting in the deployment slot space. Here, we already have a web app Donovan deployed across a couple of different regions. For this kind of web app, typically you would use Traffic Manager to route traffic across regions. The web app has both a production and a deployment stage slot. And both of these slots use app settings and connection strings that are particular or sticky to the slot. If we look here, we have a sticky app setting that is set to a prod value, and then a non-sticky one that is set to the app version. Same thing for connection strings, except that's a little bit harder to see. This is important because when you deploy your app to production, you want to make sure the configuration you deploy with is actually going to work with production as you expected. So to enable that, we have a great feature we call multi-phase swap, where first we apply the configuration for production to your stage slot, and then we allow you to perform validation. Once that's completed, we allow you to continue the workflow and swap to production. So that's one of the features we'll look at today. Another one is enabling you to do custom warm up. So if we go browse to this app, here we have a counter that is showing you how many times this page has been accessed. And right now, it's just set to 1, because I just accessed the page manually. If you would like to warm up this page before we swap, all you have to do is tell us through your webconfig file. So we will show both of these together, and the first thing I will do is I prepare this change to specify the page I would like to have warmed up before swap. And I will just deploy this change to the staging slot. And once the deployment is completed, I will initiate the multi-phase swap. And we can do that by using standard PowerShell commandlets. So here, our deployment is completed. And let's go initiate the multi-phase swap. This is just a wrapper script against our standard PowerShell commandlets. And once we initiate the swap, we can go back to the Azure portal and we can inspect the configuration elements. So let's look at our stage deployment slot. The value for the connection string and the sticky application setting has been updated to reflect the production value.
And I notice here that you actually, version 2 is the version that's actually in staging. So it's nice to see that what I've actually been pushing into staging is still there, but then what came from production is just temporarily in my staging slot so that I can do some testing, correct?
Yeah, that's a great point. And actually, as part of the swap, what we do is we restore your stage so that you can continue to work with that slot as
Perfect.
You would before. So
Okay.
This is really just a temporary copy.
Fantastic.
So going back here, what we can do is actually we can complete the swap right now and see how this looks like in production. Here, we just have another wrapper script. Just to recap what we are doing here, like I mentioned before, we are doing a custom warm-up. So not only are we warming up your app, But we're also including in that warm up the page that you specified for us to warm up. And because we want to restore your stage configuration, we're reapplying the previous stage configuration, and we're waiting for all of that to complete. And this is why the swap operation is still waiting to return.
Gotcha. So the warm-up is good because the first time you access an ASP.NET page, it has to JIT, or kind of compile in the back end. And the first person who hits that page has to kind of pay the price for the rest of the application or everyone else that uses it. So you're telling me that this feature here is actually hitting that page before we do the swap, so that whoever visits our site is going to get this nice, fast page load.
Yes.
Perfect.
And let's see what that looks like now that we've deployed it. So first thing we can do is just browse to our production app. And if we go here to the About page, you can see that our platform accessed this page before I did manually. So the value was incremented to 2.
So the warm-up hit it, which made it a 1. And then when we just browsed to it, that's why it's a 2. Because the first time you showed it to us, it was only a 1, because we were the first people that were hitting that page. Gotcha.
Yep. And then just to go back to Donovan's previous point, we can actually examine our stage configuration and make sure that it has been properly restored. So we're going to look at our app settings values again. And what we have here is the stage value restored, and also V2 of the app has been swapped to production, and V1 is available for you in the stage slot. So that also enables you to do really easy rollback.
Exactly. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people need to remember about swaps, is that we are literally swapping what used to be in production into your staging slot. Another thing that I found is really interesting about staging slots, or it's just slots in general, is that being able to do root cause analysis is really powerful, because when I swap them back, I still have the broken version of the site that I can go back in and do some investigation on. Normally, what we want to do when something bad happens is get the site back up as quickly as we possibly can, and we're pretty much corrupting the crime scene. We need everything to stay the way that it was so that I can go back in and figure out why did it break. But when I'm so quickly just to copy the old files back on top of it, I've lost all this evidence on why it failed. But when you actually just swap it back out, I still have that information that I need to be able to go do a real root cause analysis. So slots, to me, they just have so much value that they add. It's just unbelievable what you can do with them.
Yes, and hopefully, because there's so much validation that you can do ahead of time and that Donovan has prepared to show us, hopefully you wouldn't get into that situation. But if you do,
Absolutely. You'll
be able to get out of it really quickly.
No matter how hard I've tried, there's always times where I have to swap it back, and I'm always glad it's there to protect me. So fantastic.
Well, I think it's time to actually hand off to Donovan.
Cool.
And see how we would automate the steps of this DevOps workflow.
Perfect. Thank you. So now we're going to go and we're actually going to show you how to put all this together in a pipeline. First, I want to show you the application that we're actually going to be using. It's called People Tracker. It's a pretty simple application. It allows you to track people. So it has first name and last name. That's great, but if I had 2 Donovan Browns, how would I distinguish one Donovan Brown from the other Donovan Brown? So it'd be nice if we added a middle name here. Now, adding a middle name means we also have to change the database that backs this application. So I'll talk about how we actually do that. Inside of Visual Studio, we have a typical solution, and this solution also has a new project in here called a database project. It comes from SQL Server Data Tools and allows you to version the schema of your database like you would version all the other code that you have inside of your application. And what we're going to have to do here is add middle name to it and then make all the necessary changes. And I've already done that for the sake of this demo. So if we go to changes here, we can see that I've made the necessary changes so that I can now push all these changes as a unit, the database and the web app itself. We're going to deploy to a staging slot. And then upon my approval, we're going to swap staging into production.
So earlier you mentioned something about using rollback with deployment slots. How would you handle that process with a database in the picture?
It's very important because databases don't roll back. You can't swap them like you can swap a slot. So what's really important is that if I deploy a database change into my production slot, and then I have to swap back my deployment slots, it's imperative that what I'm swapping back also works with the database that I've just put into production, because I unfortunately can't swap it as well. So the best practice is to make sure that it is at least one version backwards compatible, so that if I do have to swap them back, the application will still run against the new changes in our database. So you can manage that with this tool set as well. So what we're going to do is we're using Git, so we're going to push and commit these changes to a repo that is living inside of Visual Studio Online. What that's going to do is it's going to trigger the continuous integration we talked about earlier in our slides. So if I were to jump back over here, this is our build definition that is actually should be running right now. If I were to go back here now and look at our builds and go to our queue tab, you'll see that there is a build actually running already. So this was a result of me just checking in my code. We've made some improvements to where you can see our logs in real time. You can also go back in and download these logs as well if you need to go back in and analyze something that bad that happened. We're actually running tests during this, and the test that we're running happened to be XUnit test, just to prove that the new Microsoft will work nice and play nice with other people's tools as well. And when this is done, it's going to package up the output, the DACPAC file, the files for my website, and almost like a runner in a baton race or relay race, it's going to pass the baton over to release management and then have release management deploy this code to all of our different environments that we have. Our build system is completely brand new, very, very flexible, and allows you to build almost anything. And what I mean by that, I mean almost anything. If you look at our task library, you're going to see Android development builds in there, Ant, Gradle. We have Maven for all your Java development. We also have the ability to do iOS deployments and builds because we have a truly cross-platform deployment and build system today. Our agents run on a Mac, they run on Linux, and they also run on a PC. So no matter what platform you're targeting, no matter what language you're using or what technology, you can actually build it using our build system here at VSO. You can also extend this list. So if there's something that you don't see here that you need, you can actually go ahead and add your own task to this task library. And you don't even have to add the task. We can actually run any PowerShell that you can give us. So if you don't remember anything else about this talk, remember that anything that you can do from a command line, you can do from our build and our release system. It can be running a batch file, a command line, or even any arbitrary PowerShell script as well.
That's
extremely
great.
Yeah, extremely flexible. Once this is done, there's several things that we can actually go back and do. One of the things that you can do is basically just go review what happened. As you can see, I have my test results here from the unit test that I ran during my build. I also have my code coverage results to let me know how effective my testing is actually being done. If I had changes, which I did here, where it says I added the middle name, I know exactly what commit actually caused this build to actually trigger. And I can even associate things like bugs or features or requirements to this particular build, so I know exactly what value that I'm adding.
And this information is retained, right? So not only can you do diagnostic, but you can also do analytics to improve your development pipeline later on, right?
Absolutely. And even here, above the top, you can see this histogram of the history of this build being run. So we can tell you how often it's run, how often it's passing or failing, and then allow you to go back in and download the logs to figure out exactly where the trouble parts are on our build. So absolutely. So now that this build is done, it should have handed this off to our release product here. And our release product allows us to take a lot of the same tasks that we were doing in our build and orchestrate them in such a way that we can now release from one environment to the next. Along the way, it'll also allow you to do approvals, which we talked about earlier, and I'll show you exactly how those approvals come into play here. So this is basically showing me several other releases that I've already done, that is currently active in this one here, and then I can go back in and I can look at the details of this particular release. I can go ahead and see that it's already waiting for an approval for me, so it's letting me know, hey, Donovan, we're done with the stage that you wanted us to go and work in, and now we're basically waiting on your permission for us to go ahead and continue forward. But before I do, I should return back to the application and make sure that this application now supports middle name. As you can see, when I refreshed our stage slot shows that there is a middle name column now, and we also have a new row in there. Now, I use this row particularly because it has Firefox in the name, letting me know that I use the Firefox browser with Selenium test to actually go back in and test this particular application. What we'll notice here is if we go over to our production site and we go over to the People tab here, it does not have middle name yet because I haven't swapped my slots over. And what I'm going to do is it's waiting for me to give it the permission to do so, at which point it's going to go back in, update the production database schema, and then swap our slots so that we have that new functionality in production as well. So let's go back over to release management. Now that I say everything looks good, I can come in here and give it my approval and say it looks good. And at this point, I go ahead and approve it. And what I'm going to do here is show you some of the things that we're actually going to be doing during this release. So our release system and our build system are very, very similar. And the positive thing there is everything that you've already learned in build is immediately applicable in our release system. So you don't have to learn something completely new. What we've done in our release system is we added the ability to define environments, to define an approval workflow, and also to send out additional notifications for you. So as you can see here, I have the exact same task list that I had in my build system available to me here in my release system as well. In addition to that, however, I have the ability to assign approvers. Approvers are either individuals or groups that are responsible for this particular environment and have the authority to give their thumbs up saying it's okay for you to enter my environment and it's also okay for you to exit my environment. So imagine that this is a QA lead and I've just gotten a notification saying that there's a build that we would like to deploy to your QA environment. Well, as a QA lead, I know that I'm in the middle of a 2-week QA cycle and now is not the time for you to mess up my environment. So I get to control that. You put on the brakes, just wait up a little bit, and then I'm going to tell you when it's okay for you to enter my environment. Now, I don't want you to just rush out of my environment if the tests that I run there fail. So if I go in and I run some functional test, manual test, or exploratory testing, and I'm not happy with the results, I can also have a post-deployment approval, also could be the QA lead, and if I reject it, the entire release will stop in its tracks, and it will not try to force its way downstream. So it's really nice to have that power and flexibility to be able to put in the gates that you might need for approval. Once this is complete, what we should be able to go back and see if we go ahead and review our releases again. And let's see if we can look at the status here. And we can go back in and look at exactly where we are. And what's really nice about this as well is that because the release is deploying a build that it knows about, even the tests that I run during my release are associated to the exact same build definition. So that first test that we ran inside of our staging environment and the test that we're going to run inside of our production environment are actually going to be a tie to the exact same build definition. So when I go back and I look at my build, I'll be able to see the unit test results, the staging test results, and the production test results, giving me a really nice, easy way to see what is the quality of the build that we're actually deploying into production right now. At any point throughout its life cycle, did any of the tests start to fail? And if so, we'd be able to take action upon that. So let's see if we've actually been able to complete this guy here. So it's telling us now that it's on two of the three stages. The first stage was to go back in and update our database. Then it swapped our slots. And the third stage is for it to go back in and actually run some more tests against our production site, making sure that everything was working the way that we wanted it to. So if we come back in here, we can see everything appears to be successful. So if I come back over here to my production slot and I press F5, you can now see that in production, we also have the changes that we just had inside of staging. And as you can see, we used a Chrome browser to test this particular application instead of the Firefox one. So that's great. So as you can see, it's really easy using our build and our release system to take the features that Dario showed us earlier and actually put them in an automated pipeline. So great. Would you like to tell us about App Service?
Yes. If you want to get started for free, you can start with a free version of App Service at tryappservice.azure.com. And this is also a great place to send us your questions and feedback.
Great. And Visual Studio Online is also free, where you can go to Visual Studio Online today and actually get started with you and five of your buddies and start using all the cool features that I showed you today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.